ask you, well, since some of you are already still standing, well, I'll ask you if it's convenient to join me in standing and singing the next two songs. So let's continue our worship by standing and singing the next two songs. We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before his throne. We will worship him in righteousness. We will worship him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to him we give. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart holy words of our faith, handed down to this age. Come through sacrifice, oh, heed the faithful word of Christ. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Please be seated. In just a moment, Greg will be coming up and giving us some his thoughts before our communion service. Prior to doing so, let's sing together East to West. Mm-hmm. Wait, that's not right. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the worst is from the best, as far as the future's from the past, as far as the first is from the last, He is holy, I'm unworthy. He is faithful in all of His ways. He is worthy, I'm unholy. He has taken my sins away. And oh, how far He's taken my sins away from me. As far as the heavens from the earth, as far as the dying's from the birth, as far as the darkness from the light, as far as the blindness from the sight, He is holy, I'm unworthy. He is faithful in all of His ways. He is worthy, I'm unholy. He has taken my sins away. And oh, how far He's taken my sins away from me.
They say the only thing that's constant in life is death and taxes. And I think there's a certain amount of truth to that, but I would submit there's something else that's constant. This time of year was always my mother's favorite time. And this is the third fall without her, so it's a bittersweet time right now. But Pick, who grew up in Bangkok, Thailand, and then lived 10 years in Phoenix, Arizona, didn't really understand how beautiful these leaves are when they change. And I think we kind of come accustomed to it because we expect it, but it is absolutely one of the most beautiful sights we'll ever see. And I was thinking about that last night and thinking a little bit about the church and how that could be a metaphor for what happens in the church and what happens to us as individuals. We cling to that branch, that tree of life, but then things make us change. And some of the things that make us change are good. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have to grow, and in growth comes change. However, sometimes the world looks a little better to us than the branch. And that's when we change our colors completely. And you can kind of see it. You see it in individuals. You see it in churches. They change so much, and they shine a bright, beautiful color, but then they fall away from the tree. And as we look at changes in this church, I'm excited. I think there's great opportunities, but we always have to remember to stay true to the tree and hold to those branches and never change our color so much that we fall away from the tree. And so I said everything in life changes except death and taxes, and I think there's another thing that never changes, and that is what we're about to do today. This unity that we proclaim when we take this communion, that we believe that Jesus Christ hung and died on the cross, that will never change. And as long as we're taking this communion and proclaiming His death until He comes again, we will be clinging to that branch. Let's do that now. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we live in a world that's changing in unprecedented ways, and not really unprecedented ways, but at unprecedented speeds. And sometimes it's hard and we get confused, and we pray that you always keep us close to that tree and that cross that you hung on to show us how much you loved us. And if we love you that way and learn to love others that way, no other change in this world will ever get in our way. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. We'll continue with giving thanks for the cup. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you again to gather around this table and partake of this blood, which represents the blood that represents the blood of your Son as he hung and died on the cross. And we're so thankful that he gave that enormous sacrifice for us so that we could have a home with you in heaven. We ask you to bless those who partake of it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Separate and apart from our communion is the collection. And we don't take a collection here like you used to. That's one of the big changes I've seen in the church. We don't pass a plate anymore. But we do take this opportunity to remind you that we are commanded to give and to lay by in store. And we all have that opportunity. There is a plate in the back if you want to do that. If you want to give electronically, you can do that. Whatever works best for you. But let's take a moment to thank God for our blessings and allowing us to keep this work here in All City continuing. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to live in this amazing, beautiful world that you've given us. We ask that you never let the beauty of the people in this world overshadow the beauty of the cross and what it means to us and the sacrifice that was made for us. And we pray, Father, that we never see giving to this church as a sacrifice, but as an honor and a blessing that we have to help give back a portion of what you've given us so that others can learn about you. We ask that you pray with the leaders of this church, be with the leaders of this church as they make decisions that affect the future of this church. And we ask that they do it in a way that's pleasing to you and that we be a bright, shining beacon in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Take this opportunity to invite our kids to make their way out to kids' worship. And here in a moment, we'll sing Wonderful, Merciful Savior. I'll go ahead and announce that we are blessed today to have Roger and Denise Chafin with World Bible School here, and Roger will be bringing some messages this morning about their work, and so we're looking forward to hearing that. I can't remember what part of Kentucky you're from.
Hartford,
Kentucky. So they made their way up from Hartford, Kentucky today, and we're glad to have them here and look forward to hearing your message this morning. Let's, before Roger brings the message, let's sing together, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescued the souls of men. Counselor, comforter, keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. Almighty, infinite Father,
Faithful in loving your own. Here in our weakness you find us, falling before your throne. Oh, we're falling before your throne. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Well, good morning. If you don't mind, I'm just going to kind of stay down here with you, and then hopefully I'll stay out of the way and you can see the screen that's behind me. It's wonderful to be with you. I've been a minister of God's Word for nearly 40 years, and it's always a privilege for me to be with brothers and sisters and to be able to share from God's Word those wonderful things that He's written for our learning that help us to always know and remember what we need to have inside of us, who we need to have inside of us as we walk upon this earth each and every day. And as we're privileged to come together this morning as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, we really share in a relationship that the world just simply doesn't understand. They understand relationships to a point from a worldly point of view, but they don't really understand what it is to truly care about someone and to truly embrace the one who has embraced us and given His only begotten Son to die for us. This morning, for just a few minutes, I'd like to share some thoughts with you out of Psalm 119. Our specific passage of Scripture will be verses 57 through 64. And as we're thinking about God's Word, you're going to remember, as you read through Old Testament Scripture, in the days of the judges, there's a couple of times that you'll read in the course of that particular writing that in those days there was no king in Israel. Then as you get to the very end of the writing, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And it was really, as you kind of take in all of the different accounts in the book of Judges, there were a few good times, but there were a lot of bad times when people were just kind of turning their back on God. But also in the course of that time period was a sweet woman by the name of Naomi, who had a daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth. And it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and that's in the very beginning portions of the book of Ruth that we read about in Old Testament Scripture. And I put that there as a contrast because every once in a while we have a tendency to think, well, everybody is doing what's right in their own eyes. Those words really kind of mirror what our society is like today, what the world is like today. And it's almost like, you know, people don't want to believe the scriptures. They don't want to read the scriptures because a lot of them will think, well, they're a bunch of fables and they're a bunch of myths. But you go back and you read things like in the book of Judges, and then you read in the book of Ruth, and really it talks about a lot about the attitude of mankind today. I think that's the big reason people don't want to read it, because the Bible is really just a reflection of us. And what we need as far as life is concerned. And so here was this woman, Naomi, who would lose her husband. Then she lost her two sons. And one daughter-in-law chose to go back and live with her own people. But Ruth said, no, I'm going to stay here with you. Your God is going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And she really just kind of assimilated her life into Naomi's life, even at Naomi's insistence that she not. But Ruth saw something in Naomi that she knew she wasn't going to find anyplace else. And she stayed with her, even at a sacrifice to herself of not being able to go back to her own people and perhaps find a man that she'd be able to live her life with. But I think her trust in God had grown to such a point at that time to where by staying with Naomi, she knew that God was going to take care of her. And we get to see that the mercies of God, when we're thinking about His Word and the merciful Word of God this morning, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh after Him. Now, when we think about those particular words, again, sometimes in our world today, we don't pay a lot of attention to what's written in the Old Testament. But there are things written in the Old Testament that are just too good to pass up, that we need to be able to go back and just take them in from time to time and to dwell on them, to meditate on them, and really allow them to sink in. Because it gives us a lot of insight, not only into the people that are writing them through the inspiration of God's Spirit, it gives us a good insight into God as well, and why we serve such a wonderful God today. Turning to Psalm 119, starting with verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep Thy words. I entreated Thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to Thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto Thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep Thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten Thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto Thee because of Thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear Thee, and of them that keep Thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes. When we think about these particular words, we think about this resolve that the psalmist had as we're thinking about the merciful Word of God. And he talks about seeking the favor of God. And he makes this resolve that he's going to give himself to the teachings of God. Now, when you're talking about seeking the favor of God, what it really means literally in the Hebrew word that's used there is to seek His face. And when you seek the face of God, then you are seeking a relationship with Him that you're going to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Because to the Hebrew, to the Jew, Being in the very presence of God is what mattered the most. Because if you were not in the presence of God, if you were not having His face shine upon you, then you were not living a life that was pleasing to God. In Psalm 102, verse 2, the psalmist says, "Hide not thy face from me when I'm in trouble." Why would he say that? Because his dependence is upon God. And if the Lord hides his face from the psalmist or any other man, then what is taking place here is someone who, maybe unintentionally, but nonetheless, has strayed away from God. And so the psalmist would say, "Hide not thy face from me." And he says he's going to seek his favor. Literally, he's going to seek his face. Here in Psalm 105, "Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore." This is an imploring from the psalmist to his readers. This is the way I'm going to live my life. This is the way I want you to live your life. I want you to seek the Lord. I want you to seek His strength each and every day. I want you to seek His face and do that evermore. Because He's what really matters as far as life is concerned. And when we're seeking the face of God, then we're seeking a relationship with Him to where we're going to be walking in His presence each and every day. To walk in accordance with what He has revealed, as opposed to some of the things that perhaps He has not revealed. Now, seeking God's face, what does that really mean? Well, you know, a lot of people today have a tendency to think, well, I want to have a relationship with God, but I think I know a better way. Matter of fact, I know I do. You ever had those types of thoughts before? That maybe I know a shortcut to where I can get to where God and I are both going to go, but I'm going to go in my way, and if He really loves me, He'll kind of follow along. And we'll get there at the same time, hopefully. Some will say, well, and I've had this in my own family, so I'm kind of speaking from experience here. Somebody would come to you and say, you know, I would like a relationship with God. And I want a relationship with Jesus, but I don't necessarily want it in accordance with His word. And I'm thinking to myself, well, in our conversation, you know, Jesus is the word. So if you're wanting a relationship with Jesus, but you don't want it in accordance with His word, you're trying to separate Jesus from Himself, and that just isn't going to work. You need to think about that. But a lot of people have those types of thoughts today, whether they say them out loud or not. Sometimes when people want to change the way that we do things within a church, they're doing that because they're not necessarily listening to God as much as they're listening to themselves or maybe somebody else. So seeking God's face can be a little bit more complex than what sometimes we give its due diligence. We need to be able to understand that God has revealed Himself to us. And He's revealed Himself to us in His Word. Now, the psalmist, in the passage that we read together, said, "Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Now, that phrase, "according to thy word," appears throughout the 119th Psalm 12 times. 12 times the psalmist will use that phrase. The very first time he uses it is one of my favorite passages in the scripture, Psalm 119, verse 9. "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to thy word." Now, depending on what translation you read from, those words may vary a little bit, but it has the same meaning. How can a young man keep his way pure by keeping it according to thy word. And all through that 119th psalm, the psalmist is going to take you on a journey. And you're going to notice there's good times, and then you're going to notice there's some not so good times. And the psalmist is really struggling. But through it all, according to thy word is always going to be there. And then by the time you get to about verse 172, when the 119th psalm comes to a close, the psalmist is right with the Lord. He's seeking the judgments and the commandments of the Lord. He wants to be taught by the Lord. He gives himself completely to the Lord. And everything is according to his word. So it's a faithful relationship because he is seeking the face of God. He is seeking the presence of God in everything that he does. Hear me, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. That from the 27th Psalm. And again, he's imploring his God for a faithful relationship. One passage in that 119th Psalm that we read together, in verse 59, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto your testimonies. I touched on this a little bit ago. How many times does man think that he has a better way? And how many times have we, through the course of our lifetime, thought we've got a better way? And the psalmist at times may have had that same type of a thought. As a matter of fact, he kind of admits it. He said, I thought on my ways. Things didn't go well. I turned my feet unto your testimonies. I went back to what I knew was right and what I knew where I could put my dependence, because you've never failed me in the past and you will never fail me if I will give myself to you. And I've had people ask me, because as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, there's going to be times when we have to suffer in various degrees, or we might get persecuted to a certain degree just because we believe in Jesus and we want to follow after the things that have been set forth in God's word. And sometimes, even in the church, men may not treat you, brothers and sisters may not treat you the way that you ought to be treated in a loving relationship within the body of Christ. And sometimes people will say, well, why do you stay there? Why do you keep putting up with that? And I respond to them, you know, no man is perfect. Men make mistakes. And some men may choose to turn their back. But God has never turned his back on me. Jesus has never turned his back on me. And I will not turn my back on him. Because ultimately it's Jesus that I'm serving, not man. And Jesus died for me. And so he simply wants me to follow him. And at some point, he may call upon me to die for him. He hasn't to this point, but that may happen. But I still won't turn my back on him, because he is not just the answer to life. He is life in and of itself. And so in accordance with the word of God, I'm going to seek his face. I'm going to do the things that I've been called to do, and I'll do them to the best of my ability. And even when I fall short, I know that God still loves me. And he still cares for me. And he'll still take care of me. And he'll still be there to help pick me up when I fall down. Seeking the face of God, because the merciful word of God always reveals to us how merciful God is. And people largely in the world, and maybe sometimes even in the church, will say, well, you know, the God of the Old Testament, I'm glad we don't serve him anymore. He was mean. You see all the things that he did to the people back in those days? Well, the Hebrew writer tells us, God is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. The God that we're serving today is the same God they served in the days of Adam, in the days of Noah, in the days of Abraham, in the days of Moses, in the days of David, and you just go on through the history of the Old Testament. He's the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. He has always been a loving God. He has always been a merciful God, but he is a just God, and we need to remember that. And the psalmist knew that. That's why he was seeking the Lord's face, because he knew that the Lord is the one that he could depend on. Now, the New Testament parallel to seeking the Lord's face is in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and his blood continually cleanses us. His blood continually cleanses us. That tells us the very same thing as what the psalmist is saying. I'm seeking the face of God. Don't hide your face away from me. When we are washed by the blood of Christ, we are walking in fellowship with God. That just simply means we're walking in his presence. And his face, his countenance, is shining upon us. And so how do we keep walking in that way? Well, notice Galatians chapter 4, verse 9. But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? There were many of those that Paul was writing to that were in danger of being pulled back into a system that Christ had freed them from. And Paul is just simply asking the question, why are you so willing to go back to something that offered you nothing when Christ is giving you everything? But then he also brings a very important point to mind. A lot of people in the world today, even those who claim some sort of a religious conviction, will say, I have a personal relationship with God. Fine. The question is not, do you know God? The question is, does God know you? Does God know you? Notice what Paul says there. After that ye have known God, or rather are known of God. Now God knows each and every one of us exist. But the relationship changes when we're washed with the blood of Christ. And every once in a while when you're driving around town, you may see those signs that are posted, we are all children of God. Well, maybe. Truth of the matter is, we're all creations of God. But when you have been washed by the blood of Christ, as you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you have been recreated. You have been recreated, and that's why John says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood continually cleanses because the relationship has changed. You're no longer just a creation, you are a recreation. And God has added you, himself, to the body of which his son is the head. And that's the church. So Paul is asking those brothers and sisters in the Galatian region, does God know you? Does he really know you? Make sure that he does. And how do we know that he does? Because he's revealed it in his word. According to thy word, it hasn't changed. Now the covenant has changed. We don't serve the old covenant. But we do serve God, that revealed and established the old covenant at Mount Sinai. And through the death and resurrection of his son, established the new covenant at Calvary. So that we would have a chance not to have to offer up those daily sacrifices that they had to offer up. But Jesus died one time for all time. So that we would have a chance to be in the very presence of God each and every day. And then there's going to come a time, as John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, there's going to come a day when we are going to be able to behold him and we will see him as he is. We will look upon him and we will be in his presence in heaven for eternity. The psalmist in this psalm also says he seeks godly companions. A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Now notice, a real friend will be honest with you. Sometimes painfully honest with you. They're not always going to tell you what you want to hear. They love you enough to tell you what you need to hear. They love you enough to tell you that, yeah, we're all imperfect, but maybe there's a change that needs to be made. God tells us that through his word and in other ways, to where as we're seeking his face and as we're walking in his light, there's still things that we may need to change about ourselves, and we try to do that, although sometimes that change comes a little bit more slowly than what we might like. But the fact of the matter is, God still loves us and he still gives us time to change. And he loves the world. Even all of those people in the world that have forgotten who they are. And that's shown in different ways in how they present themselves to other people. And some of it I just don't understand. I just really don't. But the fact of the matter is, God still knows who they are. And he still loves them. And he's still giving them time to change. See, each and every day that comes and goes is just another opportunity that God has given to man to change and accept him and obey him. As Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not slack as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance, because he wants us to walk in his light. So each and every day is a day where change can be made, either drawing closer to God, as we can do here this morning, or just coming to God as the world at large needs to do. He loves them all and desires that each and every one would be saved. Now, this passage in Psalm 122 largely deals with the city of Jerusalem and some of the struggles it was going through at the time. But the psalmist says here, for my brethren and companions' sake, I will say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. And really the message there is seeking what's best for mankind from God's point of view. Let's not rebel against our God. Let's not turn our back on our God. Let's draw near to Him. Because the merciful Word of God is calling us to be closer to Him. In whatever changes we need to make, and that would be different perhaps for each and every one of us, but He calls us to be closer to Him and more in His presence each and every day. And then maybe as a reflection of that, we can reach out to those who are around us who just simply don't know Him at all. And those are the ones that we're trying to reach. So we seek godly companions. We want to hang around godly companions because they're the ones who really in the end are going to seek what's best for us. They know what's best for us, and we know what's best for them, and we have such wonderful things in common. But the most thing that we have in common is the blood of Jesus. We share a common bond in the blood of Jesus. And know that one day, regardless of what happens upon this earth, there's going to come a day when we're going to see Jesus again. And we're going to see each other again. Because we're going to be together in a place that's been created for us by God for the faithful. And we now, as we walk each and every day in the light, are just waiting for that day for Jesus to take us home. Whenever that day and however that day comes, we want to be ready. So as we offer the invitation this morning, are you knowing God this morning? He knows you. Do you know Him? And does He know you as a child that's been added to the body of Jesus? That question must be answered by each and every one. And if you need to answer that question affirmatively this morning, we want to help you in that relationship in any way that we possibly can. And you may just simply need encouragement. You may just simply need to have your faith revitalized, to have a desire for deeper knowledge. Whatever your need may happen to be, we have brothers and sisters who love you, who care for you, who want to help you as far as your walk with the Lord is concerned. If you're subject to this invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand and as we sing.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. And age to age He stands, and time is in His hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great is our God.
I want to thank you, Roger, for the message this morning. You know, it's a great reminder, and it's my thought and prayer that we can all seek God in our daily lives and really purposefully seek God. So thank you so much for the message this morning. I want to make a quick announcement before Tom leads us in a closing prayer. You know, we had a tremendous unity service last week. For those of you that weren't here, it was outstanding. It was so awesome with Kanawha Valley Church. And we have some other exciting opportunities to do some things with them in the future. And we're going to have a meeting next week right after service. So I want to encourage everyone to stay and participate in that meeting. Tom?
Well, thank you, Roger. That was a good message. Enjoyed it. In case you wasn't here, you didn't hear about it, the World Bible School, he represents, and he brought us a lesson here this morning. If you're interested in it, get in touch with him. I'm sure he can help you out. It's a worthwhile thing. If you've ever studied the Bible with people, you know they'll take off on these little rabbit trips, and I think these lessons that they have kind of keep you focused and help them to stay focused, to understand what you're trying to teach them. Let's go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we bow before your throne of grace this day, we thank you, Lord, for another day of life you've blessed each of us with. We thank you for the message this morning and ask that you'd help each of us to walk in the light as you are in the light. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon each of us as we go through this week and think about the things that lie ahead of us. We pray that you would guide our thoughts all in the right direction that you want us to go, Lord. Pray that you go with each of us to our separate homes, and those that are traveling, bless them with safe travel. Help us this week, Lord, to study your word and to seek your face in all of our decisions. We always give you thanks. In Jesus' holy name, amen.